Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So nice to have your company on a Saturday afternoon, heading towards 3 o'clock kickoff. The Dragons taking on the Bulldogs, Wynn Stadium. Peter Sterling joins us right here, right now. Gerds is having a little half-hour nap. He'll be back. Nathan Brown is still here. Emma Lawrence, my name is Tony Squires. Sterlo, how are you?
I'm very well. Good afternoon. I must admit I've been out and about a bit this morning, so I haven't heard the conversation. I'm just wondering who's Brownie coaching this week or in line to coach.
Where are we with that Brownie? Where are you?
I'm not sure, but I'm available anyway.
Well, mate, you know you're in a good position when you can take yourself out of the running. I saw that with the Warriors.
Yeah,
he just said, nah.
Not him.
I'll wait for the next cab.
Well, there could be plenty of cabs. That's the sad thing at the moment, isn't it? We already got the Dean Pay one, which makes me worried about the Bulldogs this afternoon. I said at the top of the show, Sterlo, the Dragons on a roll of one. And their chance to go back-to-back against a team now with a new coach. Brownie says that's nonsense.
Nonsense. It's a misnomer.
Is it?
Have a look statistically. The win-loss ratio after a coach leaves is not predominantly in favour of a victory. So it's, forget that. You've just added to the urban myth. That's
exactly.
It's the happiest you've been all day, Tony, hearing that.
I'm not saying they can't get beaten.
There are other factors involved. All right, some great performances. We've talked about the poor performance of the Broncos, and we'll get your take on that as well. But just flip it over the other side. The Tigers, we spoke with Michael Maguire. A really good performance and a young star in the making.
Yeah, they were great. Obviously we've heard a lot about Michael Maguire and his selection policy of late and talking about the standards that he expected. Well, he got that last night and they were wonderful. And it's not the 48 that would please him. It'd have to be the zero because even late in the game, you know, they showed great desire to make sure that their line wasn't crossed. What blew me away last night, Tony, and I was at Leichhardt calling the game, was when Harry Grant came off. I think, Em, you were saying play maybe not eight
games. I think, yeah, eight games, I think, for Tigers.
Yeah, which is the most he could have played because he wasn't there before the resumption. They chanted his name. Like, it happened to me once. I'd been at Parramatta for about 17 years before it finally happened. He's got it after. They were chanting Harry, as they're giving him a standing ovation. I don't know how they're going to let – they'll get at the border and they'll stop him from getting on the flight. And, look, he was phenomenal last night, as he has been in every game. And you can just tell that he's – that year that he's had behind Cameron Smith, or maybe longer than that, whereas he hasn't come into first grade too early – He's probably come in later than his talent demands, but you can see the benefits of that now. Like, he's 22 and, you know, he probably could have been there earlier. But I've never, the Leichhardt crowd that was there were on their feet chanting Harry.
I've been booed off.
I have
exactly.
Yeah. By your own fans?
Oh, plenty of times.
And it wasn't just that one time.
No. Harry's got me covered for sure.
Dragons fans love a boo off. They do like it. Was your chant Peter, or would they go Sterlo?
Well, I tried to point out, for the last season, I thought that when they were chanting Sivo, it was Sterlo, but apparently it's the Fijian winger that we've got there now.
Just on Harry Grant, with his development, where a lot of young kids get it wrong now, and as a club, sometimes clubs are forced to blood young kids before they like, but so many young kids and their managers are so in such a hurry to get them into first grade, or they'll want to move them, where Harry Grant's had a good couple of years in the Q Cup, which is obviously reserve grade, the highest standard other footy can get. And look at the benefit he's got out of that. Yeah. Actually staying behind a really, really good player, in obviously Cameron Smith, at a really good club, as opposed to kicking up a stink, whinging and screaming, get me to play first grade. Now he's actually done the yards and he's there. And look how good it is for him. And a lot of young kids out there that are only 19 and 18 and 20 and their agents should actually have a look at Harry Grant, how good and consistent he is straight away. Obviously he's been at the great club Melbourne with the great coach. But still, if he'd been rushed into first grade 2 or 3 years ago, he's probably not going to be near the player he is today.
Do you think many would be prepared to do that if it wasn't at a club like, say, Melbourne and Cameron Smith?
The problem is that they get advised, like, obviously, the sooner you get in first grade, if you do a couple of okay things, your wage rises rather quickly, doesn't it, you know? But the best way to do it still was the best way to do it 100 years ago, is if you can really, really earn your spot like he has done, that kid, you end up being a far more consistent player quicker than the other way.
If, and we spoke earlier, I think Cam Smith says in 3 or 4 weeks, he's going to make a decision about what happens next year. And he knows how important it is, not just to Harry Grant, but the entire club. And Harry Grant has said he's going back there.
Yep.
How does that kid not play in first grade if Cam Smith
plays? I don't know what
well?
They do, because I don't know what they do with Brandon Smith. Yeah. You know, I tend to think that Brandon Smith is actually better as a back rower, because the charges that he makes, I don't know if he can do that out of dummy half and have the effect that he does. I don't know how you fit them all in. It's an embarrassment of riches. To some degree, it would be maybe dissolved a little bit if Cameron doesn't go around next year, but, you know, he's playing well enough to go around. I don't know how they fit them all in and keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Tony, it's like that they've all got unbelievable claims.
Absolutely.
But someone might be a little bit disappointed with how it pans.
Still, okay, let's look at the zero end of that game and the Broncos. It's a sad story.
It was a tough watch.
Yeah.
You know, I've really sat there for games. I felt sorry for what was going on out there. And the Brisbane side, the first 50 minutes is the worst I've seen. And I sat down and thought about this. The worst I think I've seen a 50-minute stretch of a Brisbane side. You know, it was some of the decisions or lack of decisions or effort or lack of effort. It was just, you just sat there and shook out. I've listened to sort of various commentary pieces on it. When Leilua scores from the short dropout, everybody who's watched rugby league just went, oh God, you know, oh wow.
How did that happen?
You know,
I've seen that in a grand final before though, still. Royce Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
He scored from the dropout. Remember Canberra did the short dropout to try and get the ball back in the grand final, and Royce scored, or MG, was it?
Mate, he didn't run around. He didn't go outside anybody.
No, there was just no one there.
No, MG scored.
It was an MG or Royce, or who was it?
No, it was MG who got the short dropout.
Oh, yeah.
And he offloaded to Royce. Yeah. So, but there were just things that happened there last night. And I will digress a little bit. One of the most jarring things I saw last night, and I'm old school, okay? I'm not on social media, and I understand that that's that. But, and this was after the full-time siren had been gone. I think most of the guys might have been in their civvies sort of waiting for the trip back home. But when they panned inside the Brisbane shed, there were the majority of Brisbane players just sitting on their own looking at their phone. And I was saying before we went on air, I've been involved in plenty of floggings. And I think we've got 60 put on us one day against men. Those kind of games, you just want to get back in the shed. And not much is said, but you all suffer and you sit there in the same dressing room in silent misery. Yeah. But you do it together.
Yeah.
You might not, you know, there might be some talk but you're there together. When I looked at those players on their phones, I thought, that's how they play. They're just in their own, like there's no cohesion, no communication. Like, this is one of those times, one of those really dark times where there's got to be solidarity there, which isn't brought in by a mobile phone. It's in the moment of just sitting there and looking at each other. And that might be what gets you through next week. You know, that feeling of sitting there and looking at the bloke's eyes next to you and seeing what it means, that might help me next week. Sitting there with your head down in a mobile phone, I've got no idea what they're looking at.
Are they looking at the response to that performance, which could only be negative? I'm absolutely crucified on social media.
I can't believe they're allowed in sheds, mobile phones. You know, I don't get, and like I say, I'm old school and I haven't moved forward with everything.
But
I do know those situations after big, big losses. You know, you've got to find some solidarity in there, or you're going to be in more trouble a week later and a week after that.
Freddie did get rid of them in Origin camp, and it's not necessarily a thing around after you're winning or losing, but throughout the camp. So when they go and have dinner together, your phones are away, because he said, if you can't sit and have a conversation and you're awkward, you can't even have a convo with your teammate, how can you stand next to them in the line and defend for your lives? You've got to be able to connect and engage that way. So I know the boys are all originally said it was a bit strange, but it was the best thing. And you can just see being in and around that Blues camps, how close they were and how much more they were engaging when the phones were away. And only once they get back to the rooms, then they can speak to the families and whatnot.
Well, Brownie, you've coached recently, and you know, and obviously social media has been a big thing. What? How did you see it within the?
Yeah, there's no doubt that social media has an effect on some players, a real bad effect. Yeah, I won't use names, but I know a kid that I coached not too long ago. The effect that it had on him through the world, like he actually told the welfare office, you know, like it can have a disastrous effect. And we'd sit here as older people and just say, well, don't look at it, but they struggle not to look at a lot of kids these days.
I mean, straight after a game, I don't see the need to have a phone in a dressing room. I really don't.
There's no positive to it. There's certainly not going to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve. So, yeah.
And I know that that's not the Brisbane's problem, but when I saw that footage last night and the camera panned along and all the Brisbane players, I just thought, that's how they play.
Yeah. Well, the AFL has had similar problems, and they've talked about mental health issues for that because of exactly that thing. They get back in. The first thing they do in their rooms is look at what people are saying about their individual performance. And if it's poor, then it is obviously going to have a...
Now, I know we sit here and you do it, but I can understand that.
Because it's so good. It's glowing. Honestly.
And
when you
get
quiet on air, it's obviously on the back of...
Just tippity-tap, tippity-tap.
Hey, Sterling, you'd relate to this 100 years ago... Back in the day, when I first started it, if a big loss like that, all the senior players, were not close enough. It was Monday club, straight to the pub and on the piss. That's how you solved the problem. What did Sterling 100 years ago?
Mate, absolutely. And I remember the respect that I was looked at from fellow players when I had a mobile phone failure on it, and it was a brick. Like, it was as big as, I couldn't fit it in the car almost, but it was a mobile phone and it was early on.
I like the Monday Club. We may have to institute the Monday Club right here on this show. It's called the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
It's a Saturday Scrum. We thank our good friends at King G for all of their support. The Raiders, of course, on Thursday night. We're talking about excuses in rugby league. They don't use them, do they? They had that. They had plenty of injury worries. Young kid Tom Starling comes in. Brownie, is that your responsibility, Tom Starling?
He's a tough little kid, Tommy. He was a Central Coast boy. And if you actually stand alongside him, He's
a Romanian weightlifter.
He is, yeah. And he's tough. Like, you saw him last night taking them big Roosters forwards head on the other night, but he's, tough kid, Tommy.
All right, plenty to get to right now. What a great pleasure it is to listen to once more a man from Melbourne Storm. They had a terrific win. Ryan Pappenhausen joins us. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Cam Munster, he's a good healer, isn't he? He's suddenly back in the team and playing great footy.
Yeah, I know. He convinced me he was out for 4 to 6 weeks, and then... 2 weeks later, he's back in the side. So, he's a pretty handy player to have back from injury.
How does it feel to have a player like that come back? You know, as a teammate, what does that do for you?
I feel like everyone sort of stepped up and took more of responsibility when he wasn't playing. But just to have him back, you've got that extra weapon. We're pretty sorted out across the field. Both halves are in really good form. So to have him both in the team, I think it sort of took a lot of pressure off the rest of the spine, and he's a freakish player, so we can't rely on him too often, but to have him back in the side, it just gave us that little bit more of confidence and guidance around the ground, I reckon.
What about for you individually? Obviously, you're up there on the sunny coast and in this bubble situation, and I know at other clubs, say with the Eels, even though Andrew Johns isn't allowed directly in, he's still doing some specialist work with them. Are you having contact with Billy Slater? Is he having regular phone conversations with him or to help improve your game?
Yeah, a little bit. Me and Bill stay in contact a fair bit. So if you see something in my game or in the team's game, he'll just message us on WhatsApp. We got a little spine chat as well. So he stays in contact with us, like the same as Joe will be doing with Para. But it's pretty handy to have because he's watching on TV and he's mostly at the ground sometimes if he's commentating. So he's always got feedback. He's always willing to help, which helps us out.
If there's one bit of feedback he's given you that's helped the most, what would that have been?
Probably just defensively, I reckon, Emma. Just about trying to read what's happening and putting myself in positions where I can stop the footy or stop tries. So that's probably the main thing this season. And then just little parts of my attack, but mainly defence.
Ryan, the Storm haven't lost to a bottom four team for a long, long, long time. It came over the TV last night. Does bellyache, is he more intense coming into a team that's perceived not to be near as good as a top team, or is he just the same all the way along?
Yeah, we honestly probably do more video on those teams who are, well, not really in the eight. I think he's very big on trying, like, don't get complacent. I think it is sort of, it's a year where if you don't turn up, the way the game goes, if some team gets momentum, it's pretty easy to lose hold of a lead. So we do a lot more video on teams who probably aren't in the eight, which sounds a little bit ridiculous, but I think he just wants to cover all bases and make sure we're still got our heads on and not getting complacent.
Em mentioned the bubble. Who's the toughest teammate to be around in isolation bubble?
Oh, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty spread out, so
come on.
Any troubles yet. Cooper Johns is always Cooper Johns is always hassling you for something to do. Oh,
well, it's in the genes.
Did he just celebrate a birthday? 21 the other day, was he?
He did, yeah, 21. So had a little birthday cake for him, and he said it was a birthday week. So I think he's still going.
On a personal level, is it how difficult it is with what's going on in Victoria? There you are, obviously, in the beautiful Sunshine State. How tough is it with what's going on where your home is?
Yeah, well, it is. We come up with Billy come up with a good slogan and a good little message for us to sort of send back to Victoria. We do miss our fans, we do miss our members, we do miss playing at Amy, so we just wanted to give something back to the Victorian community, and we come up with a thing called Our Home Victoria. We probably see it on our jerseys. You've got the big V. So we're still representing everyone back there. They're obviously doing it tough, and it keeps increasing those cases there. So we still definitely push that we're the only Victorian team, and we hope they're still getting behind us back home. But, yeah, it is tough. There's a few of us whose partners are still back in Melbourne. So, it is a little bit hard, but we've got to get on with it and adapt to what's happening, because at the end of the day, we're pretty lucky that we've still got our jobs and we're still playing footy. So you look at it that way, I guess.
Did you know the rule that if you're still juggling the footy, you're fair game in terms of a tackle? The Paul Momorowski, is he still complaining? Brian Kelly, Paul was juggling the ball, got the big push in the back, scores the try, fair try. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I thought that it was going to be a try. I feel like when you're in that position, it's hard to read if they've got the ball or not. I don't know. It was just one of those calls. Could have gone either way, but they got it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a grey area. If the ref goes up no try, it probably comes back no try. So, I don't know. Just, yeah, it is what it is. But luckily it didn't hurt us enough.
Once again, an incredibly solid performance from your boys. Congratulations. Well played, mate, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Ryan Pappenhausen.
Hasn't he been a breath of fresh air? Oh. I can't say fresh air because Billy was fantastic as well, but didn't see him really coming. He was in the one of three that could possibly take over from Billy, right, at fullback there, Jerome Hughes, and obviously young Scott Drinkwater. I speak to Billy Slater every week. It's amazing. Billy only works with Ryan somehow after they won. I don't know. I spoke to them last week. They had a win. And, he's very, very quiet if they ever have a loss.
Well, that's true. There's not many weeks that happens, though.
That's true.
With the Storm. Score more value this NRL season with a Ladbroke same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
All right. I know the date completely. Monday, June 8th, I think it was 22-2, the Bulldogs over the Dragons. That was the last time they met. That's what's happening this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Are the punters thinking the Bulldogs can do it again?
No, punters think it's going to be your boys getting up here, Tony. St. George Illawarra Dragons is one of the best back sides of the weekend. They're into $1.28. The Bulldogs, friendless with punters, they're out to $4.
Hey, Tom, the Knights South, mate, looking at the market at the start of the week, the Knights were about $2.05. I thought the Knights probably should have been near favourites. Has there been much money for them?
The market's completely swung in the last 24 hours. All the late money is for the Knights. As you said, they were $2.05 at the start of the week. They're now into $1.85. Well, the Rabbitohs have gone the exact other way. They're $1.85 out to $2.05.
That was your money, Brandon. You swung it. You swung the market.
Hopefully my dad's got a piece of that.
And to finish off the evening, we know it's been pretty tough few weeks for Manly and with their injury concerns. So are we giving them any chance at all against the Eels?
Been a bit of money late for them for Manly here, Emma. They're into $3.45, still clear outsiders, though. The Eels always been popular punters so far this season. They're into $1.35, but they'll probably end up a little bit longer than that if the money continues for the Eagles late.
Tom Hackett, as ever, thank you so much. Remember, score more value this NRL season with the Ladbrokes Same Game Multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet, but gamble responsibly.
Yeah, a bit of a danger game, that one. No Blake Ferguson, no Ryan Madison. I think Nakora will start. They've named Takarangi in the run-on side, but I think he'll go back to the bench and Nakora starts. But and obviously Manly, they hold a grudge better than anyone. First meeting this year, they'll be aggrieved by what happened that night.
Brownie, thanks so much for your efforts. Been terrific. We'll see you again next week, I think. And Ryan Girdler will rejoin us for just over half an hour to kick off. The Dragons taking on the Bulldogs. Triple M rocking the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Half an hour to kick off. I'm a little bit excited. Ryan Girdler has rejoined us after his little nap. You're talking. Just because you've got your headphones off doesn't mean the microphones won't pick up.
Is that how it works? Yeah. I thought you had to have the combination, the mic and the headphones on for it to come through.
No, Ryan.
Okay. But learn something every day.
Welcome back. Sturlo is still with us and it is time for this.
Believe it or not.
George is walking on. Okay. Very, very simple. Here we go. I've got a few questions for you. Tell me whether you believe it or not and why. There's been some great games of rugby league. There's also been a lot of blowouts. A few weeks ago, we said the top eight was set in stone. Turns out that's not quite right. The believe it or not I have for you right now is the NRL should be a 12-team competition. Believe it or not, Peter Sterling.
No, I don't believe it. The question is how much talent there is available. Yep. I think there's enough talent for a few more sides than that. I remember many years ago, Michael Hill came on the Footy Show. That's when he was tied up with the Knights at that stage. And there was talk then, you know, about the amount of talent. And he said, look, we could have a competition that had eight teams and it would be State of Origin games every week. But he said, who'd care? And that made kind of some sense to me. So maybe if we're getting down to 12 teams, there might not be enough care around the game from the fans.
That's a great point, Em.
I don't know if I can put it better than that, but no, I definitely think
not a competition.
I was giving Stella a rap. Jeez.
He's a good jeweler too, Michael.
Would like to see it. Remain. You're next. I like it as it is. I think we have enough talent. For the 16.
Mm. All right, good.
I wouldn't mind. I think 14 might be an okay number. As long as it's an even number, Tony, and there's no bias.
No bias. All right. Ricky Stewart maintains that after Brett Morris did an Academy Award winning dive, trying to win a penalty, an escort style of penalty, that it's becoming a problem. It's becoming a problem not just in those situations, but also in the six again scenario. Mm. Where players, you know, drop the ball or whatever. So that kind of idea of the acting has become a problem in the NRL.
Well, it's been happening now for a couple of years, really, hasn't it? They did something really, really good in the Premier League a few years ago, or in the European football, and they started penalising the person that was actually, if they thought they were acting, they wouldn't just give the penalty away. They would then, they wouldn't change the decision. They'd actually make it a penalty against the person that was performing, so to speak. So maybe they can look at doing some things like that. I thought the Rapana thing was fine the other night. I don't know why anyone has got a problem with the outcome of that incident. He stood his ground and bumped off one of the Morrises for the football.
Yep.
It was great acting, but I agree. I don't think it's necessarily become an issue this year. I think we've seen it for a while now. And you particularly see it towards the end of games when it's close and there's more of a need to, because if you can get a penalty and it's even, obviously I thought it was, you know, pretty obvious from Morris that acting, but I don't think I've seen it more now than usual.
Yeah, the way you framed the question, I don't believe it because it's been in the game 100 years. It's just when you see a theatrical one like the other night, down. Players have pushed the envelope forever and a day, will continue to do so. That's their job to some degree, or coaches certainly
it was their job. It was the 5-second delay before he went. That was good. Contact was there, then there was a few seconds and down I go.
I've got to say, the good outcome was actually the captain's challenge was
correct.
Was, you know, and boy, have some of those been wasted this year. That one wasn't. Papali goes down and scores soon after.
All right, Emma, believe it or not, the Roosters or the Storm will be the premiers in 2020.
I believe it.
Okay, there you
go. I believe it. I think there are others that certainly can win the comp. I think Parramatta have been going well, and we've spoken a lot about all of their new recruits, Madison, Regan, Campbell, Gillard. But I just think the Roosters, since they came back with the resumption of the competition, I mean, I know they lost to the Raiders, but I think they've just gone to another level, despite the fact they've lost a couple of key members of their squad. And we can see if Cam Smith and Cam Munster are there, the Storm can make the grand final again.
Okay, good. Oh, look, if pushed into a corner, I would say I don't believe it, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think obviously the Roosters lost a couple of key players and going to be hard to replace those guys. And I think they're going to do a wonderful job in trying. But I think, you know, you get into the finals at the back end of the season, you come in with a couple of really informed full rosters. And I think there might be a couple of sides out there that are going to trouble the Roosters. And I just think Melbourne on their day are going to be hard to beat. But I think, you know, the Eels and Penrith, you've got to think that at a grand final, it's going to get the best out of both teams. And I think if one of those sides plays at their best this year, I think they're a better side than Melbourne.
Okay. Yeah,
at the halfway mark, I don't believe it, because to me, it's all about the health of the roster. I'm with Gerds. At the end of the year, you know, you've got to have a lot of things go your way to win premierships. And one of the major ones of those is having your best players in form on the field at the right times.
All right. This is a producer Charlie special, obviously. It's just, you know.
Now, usually he has which coach is going to be sacked. Well, he's very negative.
Negative, yeah. Damien, believe it or not, Damien Cook's origin spot is in danger.
Oh, let me answer this one, because okay.
You put it in danger, didn't you, Stella?
No, I didn't. I was asked about Happy Coruscant, and I said that Coruscant's doing everything right to put his name up there, and it was kind of some poetic license that came that all of a sudden Damien's spot was in jeopardy. I just said that Appy Coruscant was doing everything right and did have the advantage of the club association with Nathan Cleary if he's there at the end of the year. But if I was picking a side today for New South Wales, Damien Cook's in my team.
Okay.
I think Damien Cook, I wouldn't say it's in danger, but it's just there's healthy competition, and I think Brad Fittler would want that. But I think if Brad Fittler, yes, was picking his side today, Damien Cook would definitely be there.
I think incumbency basically is really important when you have two players that are in form going for a position. I think if we get to the end of the year and Cookie and Appy are both going for that spot, it will count and he'll get it. Other than that, I think Freddie's shown in the past that he'll pick the guys that are in form. And if Appy's in better form by a stretch at the back end of the year, well, then I think his spot could be in danger, yeah.
Just quickly, Gerge, on along that line of thinking, who's the incumbent half for New South Wales?
Yeah.
Obviously, Mitchell Pearce played in game three when Nathan wasn't right to go.
Yeah.
That's going to be
Yeah, it is. And I think it'll come down to form maybe as well and combinations. But I kind of think that Nathan's been the fallback halfback for the last couple of seasons for New South Wales and their success.
Yeah, I see it that way. But Mitchell was there and got the job done in game three. So. Yeah.
Just a shout out. Thank you so much to our supporters. King G Innovations at the core of what they do and who they are. We're going to have a look at this afternoon's game and this evening's when we come back right here on the Saturday Scrum. Split Ends, Triple M rocks the footy. Peter Sterling, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gerler. My name is Tony Squires, heading towards kickoff 3 o'clock. The Dragons taking on the Bulldogs. Just a question without notice, Sterlo, on the Bulldogs.
Oh, hang on. How many questions do you ask with notice?
Zero.
Not many.
all right, just ask me a question.
Just any question. I'm not going to say the word debutant, though, around you.
No,
I'm getting very, very big trouble. With the Bulldogs, obviously the coach has gone. They're making a decision and could well be Trent Barrett, seems very highly likely. But what we do know is one of the people that they have signed, thinking in terms of dragging other people, is Nick Kotrick from Canberra. He wants to play in the centre. Is that a good start?
Oh, I think so, yeah. He's an Origin player and a quality player. He's young. He's still got his best football way in front of him. So, you know, I've with players like that, you look at how much they paid. I don't know what the figures, whether they're correct in the paper, but, you know, there might be a little bit of overs there, but you've got to start somewhere. And again, you know, having Nathan Brown in here was perfect in regards to, you've just got to get those first couple of players, and then it becomes, you've got to turn it from being an unattractive place to go to somewhere where players would go because of who they're going to play alongside. So, you know, Kotrick is a great start. Luke Thompson's another step in that direction as well. And the problem for Canterbury, unfortunately, at the moment, is that they've lost arguably their two best players in Will Hopoate and Adam Elliott. Mm. You know, so that's, you know, that's going to hurt their results, I would think, again, in the short term. But I think Kotrick's a really good start. I know, Gerds, how do you feel about him coming and playing maybe as a centre?
One of the concerns, Pete, was that they've paid a lot of money for a guy that's untried in the centres. Like, I think he's a really good winger, a great finisher, and I don't know what there's more value in these days. Is you pay wingers more money than centres? I mean, do they have more of an impact on the result, bringing the ball, you know, out of their own end of the field and then finishing opportunities like they do? I'm not so sure, but it seems like a fair bit of money. I like Nick as a player. He's a representative player and he might attract some other people to the organisation. So they're definite bonuses, but there's an element of risk involved when you sign outside backs for big money. And also when you have a look at their roster, and you mentioned the two guys, Pete, that I reckon they build the club around in Elliott and Hopewadi in key positions, but the other key positions are still up there to be, you know, bought and created. And who are they going to bring into those spots?
Well, fortunately, you mentioned Reid Marnie a couple of weeks ago, and he's unavailable now.
Okay? He is.
Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, they need to look at that. They need a dummy half. And they've got Meaney at fullback today. And I really like Nick Meaney. I thought he was a great buy from Newcastle. He came down and I thought he started really positively at the Dogs a couple of years ago. Then he was sort of shunted to the wing. Now he just hasn't got the build for a modern day winger. He's got good hands. He's got a different style of play than Dallin. But when Dallin came, he got pushed to the wing. And it's just kind of interesting to see now that Stevie Georgialis is in there and he's changed some things around the team, the dynamic, to maybe try and get a better performance today, as well as bringing back Lachlan Lewis. Now, how do you unlock Lachlan? Because we all know how much ability that he has. But
say that three times really quickly.
Yeah, but who's got the keys? Who's got the keys to that? And hopefully Steve Georgialis gets a result there as well.
Were you surprised, Em? I actually gave – I thought Brandon Wakeham was someone who they could have kept investing in because it's sort of just been back. If Kieran Foran is fit and playing there, you want to bring a half in who's going to be your long-term half to take advantage of him while he's there.
That's the thing. Isn't it the most disruptive thing you can do? I know, I mean, Madge has got results by chopping and changing the halves, but I remember speaking, Jamie Soward had said once that the best he ever felt and the best he ever played was when Wayne Bennett said, "You're my half," and it gave him the confidence because before he'd kind of been in and out of first grade. So just knowing that, not that you're complacent, but just knowing that that is your spot. And a half shouldn't be comfortable and complacent in any sense, but knowing that you've got time to work on that combination and this season is yours to continue to build. But it doesn't look like they have that because they've had about four or five different combinations so far.
I've really liked what I've seen from Wakeham in the last few weeks. Yeah, I was surprised with the change this week. Maybe Lewis will come out and have an absolute stormer and have a great second half of the season. But I thought it would almost look as though, okay, we're going to put Brandon alongside Kieran for the rest of the season, and yeah, that's going to work well for us
in the future. What about big Englishman Luke Thompson? What have you made of his one game?
Yeah, he's first game up. He did what you expected of him, apart from being placed on report for a shoulder jazz. But yeah, you can see there's quality there, and he's a good sign. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. And no drama about Cam McGuinness from the story today. You know, maybe he's not happy playing at outside of the number nine. He's still good in the 13.
He's been great, but we've seen that role change over the past 12 months. But I'm just not so sure that moving forward that he's the best option for himself, for his own game, at 13. It's great that he can play there, but I think he's a genuine number nine.
And Hunt will be the halfback down the track.
Do you think that will happen?
I think so.
All right. Well, who wins today?
I think the Dragons do. They were great last week, and they were on that roll. That's one in a row, like you said.
One in a row. Are you feeling confident?
What do you think, Tony?
It's a danger game.
You have to give your opinion.
It's a danger game. Those Dragons will do the job. Thanks so much for your support. Get out and enjoy your footy. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.